Well, John, I'll go first. I think it was the perfect draft for a Viking fan. They got the quarterback they seemed to want. They didn't have to trade another first-round pick to get him. They got one of the best edge rushers in the draft, and they watched Kirk Cousins get absolutely killed.
If you look at like the Venn diagram of Vikings Schadenfreude and excitement, they are sitting right in the middle of that baby. So I think they're nothing could have lined up better for them last night than for how this all played out. So good on Kwesi, good on Terry Fontenot and the Atlanta Falcons. Everything is coming up roses for the Vikings fans this morning.
Also coming up roses for me, because at least one NFL team looked at this quarterback class exactly the way I did, which is that the Falcons had Jaden Daniels as their number one quarterback and Michael Penix as their second best quarterback in the draft, which is exactly the way I viewed it. I like McCarthy, but I think he has a lot to prove. So let's get into all that. How the first round played out, where the Vikings stand right now, what else they have to accomplish, and just how mad is Kirk Cousins. This is the Viking Update Show, part of TalkNorth.com. If you like this show or any other show at the network, including the John Krasinski Show, which covers the Red Hot Timberwolves and is one of our most popular shows. If you like one of the shows, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. We are coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Aquarius Home Services. Define destinations. John's going to Spain with the Wolves. A bunch of sports fans this summer. Twill in the Edina Galleria. They're having a Johnny O trunk sale Friday and Saturday, 26th and 27th. But they always have good Johnny O stuff, even if you can't make it there for the sale. And TSR Injury Law, 612 TSR time. All right. So how good do you feel about this first round for the Vikings?
I mean, I do feel good in terms of, you know, we talked a lot about the quarterbacks leading into this draft, and I am by no means fully versed, but I do really like kind of the overall feel I have about J.J. McCarthy. We talked about it, I think, earlier, right around the bowl games and the national championship game, and this is very intangible. This is, you know, this is not something that you can really measure, but I just loved watching JJ McCarthy work the sideline as a team leader when things were going well for Michigan, when they were not, kind of the confidence that he seemed to exude, and a lot of just, you know, the overall quarterback-ness that he has. He seems like a guy that people want to follow into the battle. And so I know there are question marks about his skill set, about what he's done as a quarterback, about, you know, maybe even the lack of relative experience compared to some of the other guys. But when I look at him, I say that's a quarterback that people want to follow. And I think that's a great place to start. Then you go and get Dallas Turner, who is, you know, really highly rated, really well thought of at a position of need. And so they came out of this draft with two players who were very highly thought of at two of the glamour positions on the field, an edge rusher and quarterback. And so will they be the exact right people and work out? I don't know. We'll have to see how that all works. But I understand the logic. I see that a lot of people really think highly of both of these guys. And so I think that's a pretty good place to start for a roster that needs talent infusion. And you got two potential home run hitters with these picks. And so I like that part of it very, very much.
I also, and listen, McCarthy, he has intangibles. He has the right mindset. He has tangibles. He's a good arm. He's very athletic. He runs very well. He's played in big games. He still has a lot to prove as a passer, as a generator of passing, NFL passing offense. Of course, every young quarterback has to go through that. What I like most, though, is that all what I thought was complete BS about needing to trade up to four or five to get McCarthy, I think it speaks well of the Vikings and Kwesi that they didn't buy into that. They didn't get desperate and trade two first-round draft picks to get a guy that they could get at 10, that they might even be able to get 11. I think that shows some savvy, And we haven't seen a lot of draft savvy from Kwesi before. I think that's probably a good sign of his growth.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think, you know, the day or two before the draft, you started to see some suggestions. And I was even talking to a couple of people in the league, you know, just about how things, they expected things to fall. And one person told me the day before the draft, as a matter of fact, he said, you know, McCarthy's going to be there at 11. And I just said, whoa, really? Because all you had heard is that, you know, the top four quarterbacks were going to go within six picks or so. And I think that that was predicated on the Giants taking a quarterback. And I think that, you know, or the Raiders kind of moving up, or the Vikings moving up into that top category to do it. But there was a little bit more intelligence, a little bit more steam about, hey, maybe the Giants won't do that. And maybe McCarthy will be there at 11 for them. And so that was a surprise to me at the time, but then it certainly turned out to unfold that exact way. I do believe, Jim, that Kwesi probably really tried hard, and if in a perfect world would have traded up to three for Drake May. Like, mm-hmm. I think that was their number one, you know, hope that they were going to be able to do that. And I do think that they were willing to pay a big price for that. But ultimately, you know, New England decided they couldn't pass on it, and they couldn't pass on him. And so that really took that option off of the table. And so, to your point, when they lost that option, and you can get really discouraged and disappointed and say, okay, well, now we have to scramble and get up to four or five and still pay a king's ransom to get McCarthy, or Penix, which is another player who I think they really, really liked. When that happened, they could have panicked. They did not. They didn't, you know, pay an enormous price to move up to 10. I thought, reading the draft board well and being a little bit patient in the execution of it, was key for last night, because I like McCarthy a lot, and I do think that everyone was taken aback when the Falcons took Penix at eight, and probably including the Vikings. But then they still got a very accomplished quarterback who has won a lot of games, who probably is going to fit into this system very, very well.
So where do you think the Vikings stand right now? Are they rebuilding around a young quarterback and a young defensive player, or are they contenders?
Well, so it's kind of interesting now, Jim, when you look at it, because all of a sudden, you know, the last couple of years, we've looked at it and said, man, this offense is going to have to carry the load. This defense is lacking talent and is struggling. And so it's going to have to be an offense heavy route to getting to the playoffs. Now I wonder if it's almost the other way, or at least more balanced. I mean, if Dallas Turner becomes the player that many people think he is, if he becomes a really dynamic edge rusher, and now all of a sudden you have Turner and you have Grenard, and, you know, and Kwesi's done a good job. Yep. Kwesi's done a good job adding this other talent defensively. It feels like that this offense will go into this season, whether it's McCarthy or Darnold at quarterback, you know, kind of capable of, or not having to have the weight of the world on its shoulders. And so even if, let's just say, they are not quite as proficient offensively in the early going next season, because either you have Sam Darnold and he's just not as good as Kirk Cousins, or you have J.J. McCarthy in there who's just learning on the job and it's going to take a while to settle in, they don't have to do as much, because hopefully Flores, with this defense and actually with the infusion of talent that he has, is going to be able to really make life difficult for opposing offenses. And so I think that where the defense stands now probably makes the learning curve slash the rate of ascension back to contention a little more possible than what you have at quarterback right away. And so I don't think that they are pivoting into a, you know, we are going full rebuild on this. It feels like they are pivoting to a different model where the defense is much more of a factor and you kind of make it through offensively until you get, hopefully, McCarthy ready to roll, whether it's right away, whether it's a year, whether it's in the midseason, and get that offense humming at a different clip. So it's a different look for the Vikings, but I don't think that it changes their expectations for competition going into next season.
A lot more to get to. He's John Krasinski from The Athletic. I'm Jim Suhan from The Star Tribune. Brandon Morton is our producer, as he has been for so long. We want to remind you, we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank Aquarius Home Services.
Scott for Aquarius Home Services. Making your life better is a huge priority for us at Aquarius. It may start with providing worry-free water or heating and cooling systems you can trust, but there's another very important reason. Aquarius is family-owned and operated. We work hard to earn the right to be recommended. That means upfront, no surprise pricing, providing a five-star experience, and treating your home and time with respect. And knowing we're just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com.
Looking to spice up your adventures? Well, you're in luck. Meet Define Destinations, your local tour company based right here in Minneapolis-St. Paul area, with over 25 years of experience crafting unforgettable group tours. At Define Destinations, they're all about making travel easy and oh so exciting. Their 2024 lineup is jam-packed with epic destinations and experiences that are hard to find on your own. From the sun-kissed shores of Croatia to the pasta paradise of Italy, they've got you covered. Plus, they include airfare, tasty meals, and must-see attractions. It's like a vacation jackpot. You also want to stay tuned for a sneak peek at the 2025 trips. Trust us, you don't want to miss it. DefineDestinations.com, where every journey is an adventure. That's DefineDestinations.com, your ticket to unforgettable experiences.
We'll talk more about the Vikings, but let's face it. Kirk Cousins' drama is probably the most interesting thing in the draft right now, most interesting in the NFL. So the Falcons signed Cousins to a four-year deal, $100 million guaranteed. Then they draft a guy who they will have to make a decision on in 4 or 5 years, who might not play for a couple of years. Is this 3D chess or is this stupidity?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Jim. I typically think like, well, hey, if you're looking at addressing quarterback, either short-term or long-term, it's never a bad idea if you think you have a shot at some kind of generational talent. And so in that way, I want to say, hey, good on the Falcons. They get a guy who has been gone through some injuries. You bring him in. You can let him rehab those injuries for a while, get stronger, learn the league, behind Cousins for a couple of years, and then take over. And then you got a nice easy transition from the veteran to a dynamic younger player. But by the time that all happens, Penix could be 26 or 27 years old, and then you're just wondering about how this all strings together. It just seems like they made the move with Cousins to be more competitive right away, and they have many other needs, especially defensively, that could have helped that pursuit. And to kind of go, with Penix, who I really like, I think he can be a very good player in this league. It just seems like almost outsmarting yourselves. And I think it shocked everyone. I really do believe that the Vikings were looking hard at Penix, at if they were going to stay at 11 or be at 10 or 11 and take a look at him as well as JJ McCarthy. So that changed the dynamics a little bit, but you literally just signed this guy to $100 million, guaranteed contract that you want him at for at least 2 years, but ideally I think at three, and then you go and get this quarterback. I don't know. I usually can see drafting the guy and have say you're going to sit 1 year and then we're going to put you in there. But when you're doing it at number eight, that's the tough thing here, Jim. Like the Packers have done it. With Jordan Love a little lower down the draft board, even Mahomes was outside the top 10, right? So they're at number eight with plenty of needs, and Penix is just going to have to be an unbelievable player for them in a couple of years. Otherwise, I think everyone's going to be looking for jobs.
I think everything you said is right. I'll just offer the counterpoint, which is what the Falcons are telling people today, which is they didn't plan on drafting a quarterback until they worked out Penix and they said, oh my God, this guy's great. They worked him out cold, windy, 50 degree temperatures, had him throw a million balls deep into the outside and the ball just zipped through the wind. I mean, that's kind of a differentiator between good and great quarterbacks. Great ones can throw through a hailstorm. Good ones need you know, ideal conditions. So if this is what happened, I understand what they did. If they said, we need a quarterback, we're going for it, we're going to spend an incredible amount on Cousins, and we're spending too much on him, but that's what it takes to compete. And then they said, oh my God, yes, we have Cousins, but this guy might be the next great quarterback in the league. How do you pass on that? Then I understand it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I do think, I think it absolutely means that they expect, you know, I heard, you know, some people say that, you know, he's more than Lamar Jackson. Like, you know, there's just that kind of dynamic talent. And from the, you know, when I watched Penix play, and I, you know, I didn't watch every game or anything, but I look at what he did at Indiana and what he did at Washington, two programs that don't traditionally win very much. And he really had a huge impact on both of those, especially Washington. So I do like the talent. And you know, the other part of it that we also have to consider is that, you know, Cousins is a good quarterback. He has never been an unassailable, you can't draft someone type of a player, because A, he's coming off an Achilles, which is, you have to see how he responds to that. And B, he's 36 years old. And so you have to have a plan going forward for after Kirk Cousins. I just expected that to be executed maybe next year or the year after that. But really what it comes down to is they believe that he's going to be that the next great quarterback, as you said, Jim, the next great quarterback in this league. And so, you know, 3 years from now, if Penix is whipping the ball all over the field and leading the Falcons to the playoffs and doing all those things, everyone's going to look back and say, why didn't the Giants take this guy at six? Like, that's going to be the question, rather than why did the Falcons take him at eight? Now, the only thing that would possibly get in the way of that, or one of the few things, is if he gets injured again, and if, you know, if the body fails him. And that's where I think the risk is high here for the Falcons. Is, yes, the arm talent, the leadership, all of that is off the charts, is really locked in, but he has had two ACLs. He's had some shoulder issues. He takes a lot of punishment. He's gotten banged up. If he cannot hold up, then you're looking at, well, that's the reason that he fell. And so they better be right in their evaluation from a health standpoint that he's going to hold up over the long haul.
But John, that's why you have a good backup like Kirk Cousins.
That's great. Hey, well, yeah, it's the best of both worlds. This is Montana and Steve Young all over again.
I was trying to come up with something funny. I couldn't do it, so I'm not going to force it. To wrap up this portion of the conversation, I want to talk about Darnold next. But to wrap up this portion, is what this really is further confirmation of what Kwesi said in that interview that he got so offended was quoted him accurately, which is, yeah, we like Cousins. He's not one of the great ones. You know, the good thing about Cousins is if you have him, you have a good quarterback. The bad things about having Cousins is if you have him, you really want somebody better.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, and especially, you know, when Cousins is coming off of the Achilles and all of that stuff, I mean, we all marveled or were gobsmacked at the amount of money that they paid Kirk Cousins, because I've always thought really good quarterback. But you look at that kind of investment, you're like, holy cow. If I'm Arthur Blank, I'm like, wait a minute. Why did we give Cousins all of this money to do is if we're going to be looking at taking a quarterback this quickly, you know, is that the way to go? But there's no arguing that, you know, Cousins does not deserve the same kind of consideration for feelings, for role, for all of that, you know, that even like an Aaron Rodgers should have, or Brett Favre, or any of the guys who had players drafted in the first round and sat behind them for a year or two deserve. Like, he's been a good quarterback in this league, but not, you know, not an elite one. And now it sounds like, from the reaction from his agents and everything, he's not feeling great about it, but here's the world that he lives in now.
Yep. You took the money, dude. Sorry. Hey, Twill in the Dining Galleria, twillmn.com. My friend Scott Dayton owns and runs it. It's a local store. It's not a chain. They're not trying to expand to Canada. It's a Minnesota store. It's the best men's clothing store in Minnesota. If you hear this in time, Friday night, Friday and Saturday, 26th and 27th, they're having a Johnny O trunk sale. Buy three, get one free. I wear Johnny O all the time. I saw it all over the place at the Masters. Great brand. And I'd never heard about it until Scott got it. Scott always has brands I've never heard of. And it's great stuff. So check it out. They also have added Samuelson to their family of brands. Hey, spring has arrived at Twill. They have all kinds of great golf stuff, summer stuff, shorts, everything from the finest suits you can buy anywhere to comfortable shorts you can play golf in, and accessories and belts made in a little village in Vietnam that Scott found that nobody else carries. Check it all out, twillmn.com. Sign up for their emails. They won't spam me to death. They'll just send you maybe one a week, maybe one every 2 weeks, letting you know if they're going to have an event. I highly recommend it, twillmn.com. And thanks to our friends at Steve Terry at TSR Injury Law. As Steve always says, all you need to know is 612-TSR-TIME. If you're injured, call 612-TSR-TIME. The Darnold signing certainly was underwhelming, but it certainly makes sense in this context. He might be able to give you a good month or two. He might be able to just get you through a season if you decide McCarthy needs a full year of practice before he plays. And also, if you bench him, nobody's going to complain.
Yeah, exactly. I think that this is much different, obviously, than the Kirk Cousins Atlanta Falcons situation. You have invested a fine amount of money for a quarterback, for a starting quarterback, one that does not have any real reputation in this league. I mean, you know, for all of that Kirk Cousins we can talk about, he got that $100 million for a reason, that he has shown that he can play the position at a high level over extended period of time. Sam Darnold has not done that yet. He's a high draft pick. A lot of people liked his skill set. It has not translated to the field yet. So he does not have any real status or sort of claim to the job that other more established quarterbacks do have. And so you can absolutely go into this offseason program and into training camp and just saying, hey, we are going to not put pressure on JJ McCarthy to get in there right away, but we're also going to say, like, if JJ shows that he's ready for it, that's fine right now, because the only other option is Sam Darnold. You start Darnold at the start of the season, let JJ kind of get a feel for things, and midseason you make the switch, or at the bye week you make the switch. And all of that, all those things are realistic possibilities, because Sam Darnold, unless he starts the season just lighting the world on fire, doesn't have the reputation, the salary, any of that to command anything, any more consideration than that. So I am of the mind, just given McCarthy's relative lack of experience, that I do think that starting Darnold week one, and even maybe riding this season out with Sam Darnold, it provided it's not an absolute disaster, I think I'm fine with that. You know, do not rush McCarthy in. Let him really learn things, get his feet underneath him. Take your time figuring out exactly what he did not show at Michigan and what he can do with the Vikings, and then pass the baton to him. But you know, the only thing that the Vikings really need is for Darnold to not be a disaster. Like, that changes things quite a bit. If he can just be okay, if he can just be competent, and then that gives you a lot more freedom with how to use JJ McCarthy and when to kind of deploy him.
No doubt. What do you make of this division at the moment?
Well, I mean, the Lions, they got a heck of a lot better, right? On draft night, who's the guy that they took? Tyrion Arnold, right? Didn't they get him? So, I mean, I just think that Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, they keep getting just high quality football players into their building. And so I don't think they're going anywhere. I still believe as of right now, it probably goes Lions, Packers, and then the Vikings and Bears are sort of jockeying for that third spot. I thought the Bears had a good draft getting Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze to add to the mix. Now they still have a lot of work to do, but that's an influx of really high-end talent that might take a year or two to kind of develop, but they're going to be on their way eventually. I think I'll give the Vikings a little bit of a leg up on the Bears just because I think they have more established veteran talent right now on their roster. And so they might be a little bit better, but I still think that the Vikings are chasing the Lions and the Packers. What do you think?
Pretty much agree. Yeah. So the Bears get Rome Odunze. They already got Keenan Allen. They have a good defense. If Caleb Williams is as good as they think he is, they're on their way. And you never know with young talent whether it'll be this year or next year. But if Caleb Williams is the real deal with those guys on the outside to throw to and a good defense, they will be difficult at some point in the next 2 years. Yes, Tyrion Arnold was the cornerback that the Lions drafted. Very logical pick, very good cornerback to really shore up their only real weakness on their team. And the Packers take an offensive tackle from Arizona. It's one of those picks that doesn't get anybody excited on draft day. But if you get the right guy, he's going to play tackle for you for 10 years and be a big part of things. I think the Bears and the Vikings both have a lot to prove. They have ground to make up. I also think they now have the talent to make up that ground if their picks were as good as they think they were.
Yeah, and I mean, the key of all of it, and this is so stupid, but like you, it's just this is what it comes down to. If McCarthy is he doesn't have to be Mahomes. He doesn't have to be even CJ Stroud, who kind of stepped in and was unbelievable for the Texans last year. But if he is Brock Purdy, if he is, you know, somebody who is going to come in and just play the position very intelligently, make some plays, he's got the weapons around him to be effective and to really unlock the offense. And then this defense is really, I think, has had a huge step up in talent level this offseason, including with Dallas Turner. So I have seen a lot from the Vikings that I needed to see. And now it just depends on, do you have a generational, like, franchise quarterback who is going to be, you know, dynamic and a real leader and explosive and difference making in that way? Or do you have a quarterback that's going to be very solid, Kirk Cousins level type of production, and how that goes forward? That's going to tell the tale of these next 6, 7, 8 years is what exactly do we have with JJ McCarthy? And we don't really know just because of what he had to do at Michigan and what he didn't have to do at Michigan. So I'm very intrigued to see it. I am a JJ McCarthy guy, but I also acknowledge that some of it is a leap of faith.
No doubt about it. Let's get a final thought from John. Once again, thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to everyone who listens to the network and this show. I highly recommend listening to the John Krasinski Show. He's doing great stuff on the Timberwolves, who are a fascinating and fun team. Also, check out Michael Russo on hockey, John Millay on preps, Jeff Diamond, the former Vikings general manager, on the Vikings and the league. We have Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, myself talking about the Twins. We have Mike Grimm on the Gophers. We have variety content. We have outdoor content with the Ron Scherer production people. Tons of good stuff in the network. If you like a show, please subscribe to it. It's easiest. It's free. That's the way to do it for both us and for you. We do appreciate it. Final thought, John.
Yeah, I just think that the overall results for what happened on Thursday night were very good for the Vikings in terms of getting two players at positions of desperate need that have the pedigree to be very, very good. What also we have to acknowledge is that Kwesi did pay a lot, a high price to get both of these guys, and they do not have many picks coming here, both this year and next year. They did hold on to next year's first, which is great, but a lot of the draft capital for them is gone. And what that does tell me is they feel like they had to take risks to get big ticket players in here because there is a lot of pressure on them to show a real vision and a real direction for where this place is going to go over the next couple of years. Otherwise, it's not going to work out for him here. And so it is sort of the actions of a guy who really knows that I got to start really showing that I have this team going in the right direction, or else someone else is going to be making these picks in the next couple of years. So there was a little bit of, there was certainly a lot of urgency kind of as the undertone of his moves last night. It's like, it's go time here because I might be running out of time if I don't hit on these picks.
All true. I will also say that I think the Vikings will end up with some compensatory picks. You know, I don't know. I don't have the same level of faith that most Vikings fans do, that the NFL is going to punish the Falcons in a way that helps the Vikings, but that's
right.
A potential benefit down the road. It's possible it could happen. I also think they have tons of cap space, so they're going to be able to fill a lot of needs in free agency next year. So I'm not as worried about the number of picks as a lot of people are. And I think keeping that first rounder next year was a big deal.
Absolutely. But the bottom line here and what we've talked about is now you have, Vikings fans, a quarterback like that you are going to follow for the next 5 years at least and see, you know, what he becomes. But for the first time since Dante Culpepper, I'm not counting Christian Ponder in this. For the first time since Dante Culpepper, you have like a player that the Vikings have drafted who they believe can become the face of this franchise. And so that in and of itself is just really an exciting place to be, is like you got a first round quarterback. You traded up just a little bit to get him. He comes from a very a tradition rich program, won a ton of games. This is all super, super exciting. So whatever happens, at least right now, this is a very fun time to be a part of following this organization when, let's be honest, the last couple of years, you know, haven't always been super fun and to follow them.
There's nothing better in sports, in American sports, than watching a good young quarterback develop. If he's good, mm-hmm. If he's good, you're in for a really fun ride.